Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome everyone to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, how are you?
Change an octave there.
A little bit.
Renshaw.
I'm all over the place.
There you go.
A little bit. Playoffs are in full swing, Matt.
Yeah.
Full swing.
Did you get a bye?
No. I have had a terrible, terrible season. We'll talk about it. But before we do, we need to remind everybody, we're brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
That's right. The best in the biz. And if you want to connect with Matt or I, you need to go to Twitter. We are at Dynasty Dads. We also have an email address. We are still taking signups for off-season emails or interviews, excuse me.
I'm ready to roll.
DynastyDads@gmail.com is the place to sign up. And we have a lot of content planned for this off-season, don't we, Matt?
Oh, so much.
So much.
I'm so ready. I feel like I should be in the Devi, like in a Devi league because of all the content that we
have. Would get rocked in a Devi league.
I would not.
You would get rocked.
I'm just a high school teacher. IDP I scout league. High schoolers.
Oh,
I know.
My God. That's kind of creepy.
Anyways, you and I got a linebacker. Just waiting.
Just wait.
Gonna explode.
Right. Right. let's do family stories. I got plenty of stuff to get to. We got news and notes. We got the hot takes. We got an update on it for everybody. And let's just get to it, Matt. Let's hear it. Family story. Hit me.
We went and saw Frozen 2. Into the unknown.
Let it go.
Nope.
Let it go.
Dude, the new song is fire. Not really. It's like ice because she's an ice princess. But no, we went and saw that. Kids were good. I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old, and my 3-year-old sat through it. My 2-year-old had to move quite a bit.
Sure.
But it was good. It was good. They're sisters. So it's like I see one more as Anna and one more as Elsa, and it like they fit the T, and I'm like, Frozen was written about my kids. Like my oldest has magical freeze power.
There's something about the movie that kids like. My daughter is really into it. She's only 2, but she's super into it, thanks to Disney Plus.
That's right. You're welcome.
And my wife can actually sit through Frozen because she likes the songs, the music.
So you haven't seen the second one?
I have not.
You should see the second
one. I'm probably not going to go see the second one. I might, if once it comes out on Disney Plus.
If you worked at a movie theater, you would see the second one.
No, I had like, oh.
Flashbacks.
I had flashbacks. I used to work. That was my very first
job.
We
used to work.
That's right.
Dynasty Dads back in the movie theater.
Oh, God. Terrible job.
I loved it.
Clean your stuff up, people.
That's true.
Don't leave your
Please
cups
don't leave a mess.
And your popcorn behind. You're a douche.
That's a bad word.
No, it's not. You have to literally walk by the trash can on your way out. Dude, pick it up.
It's true.
You're trash.
I had somebody walk out one time. They said, that's his job. I ain't picking up my trash.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, as they walked by.
Those kids get paid nothing, by the way. I'm not saying they deserve a raise. I'm not here arguing for $15 an hour.
Oh, my God. Everyone gets some money.
Hey, we got plenty of tweets in the last political episode. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Sorry.
Anyways, family story.
I'll pay you $1,000 a month if I'm president.
Oh, God. Are you done?
That was Yang, right?
Are you done?
I think his name's Yang. I'm done. What do we got?
So last week.
What's your kid's story?
I was about to say. Oh, okay. If you'd stop cutting me off. So last week, my son started basketball again.
Okay.
So I think it's, I can't even tell you how many seasons he's done. But he's super excited for it, super into it.
Did you get a crown for him yet?
No. But the coach texts all the parents.
Wait, you're not coaching?
No.
Is this the first time you're?
No, this is like the third, second or third season I have.
It's got to be a second because we've done a podcast where you were a coach.
Train wreck.
I can imagine.
So anyways, so the coach texts all these parents.
Okay.
Individually. And says, and introduces himself, gives us all his contact information, and warns us that he and his daughter coach the hard way.
Okay.
He says, sometimes we lose a little control, we get a little loud, but it's all in the best interest of the kids, and we just want them to learn and to respect the game.
Wow. Okay.
Whoa. We're talking...
9-year-olds, right?
We're talking 8 and 9-year-olds. So, okay.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. All right. So I tell my wife, I'm like, hey, look at this. I'm happy about this. I like this.
Guy's Bobby Knight.
The kid needs a little bit of...
Throwing chairs at people.
He needs this. You know, this is good for kids. A little respect. put a little respect on the name, you know? And so I'm like, okay. And so we go to the first practice. Holy smokes, the guy wasn't kidding. They're yelling. They're giving these kids nicknames.
And his daughter? How old is his daughter?
His daughter is like college aged. You could tell she's played.
Okay.
You know, probably, I assume the college level, but I could be wrong. But she definitely knew what she was talking about.
Okay.
But she was more demanding than the dad was.
On eight, there's this one kid
that wore Red Sox. So he got called Red Sox the entire time. Didn't bother to learn his name. Hey, Red Sox.
Gosh.
Run a lap.
What?
Yeah, she's having...
practice number one?
Yes, this is practice number one. And it was for every three bad passes, because they're 8 and 9 year olds. For every three bad passes, you had to do like a lap around the gym.
Wow.
The whole team. You line up and you do it.
Okay.
And that was like the shuffle. I don't know what they call it. You shuffle down, you backpedal, you shuffle again, you backpedal, you run.
I don't even know what to tell you. Shuffle.
It was amazing.
Like side shuffle, like a defense?
Yeah, side shuffle. Okay. You shuffle.
What you did with your feet, it would look like you were, I don't know what you're, like, we're trying to run on ice.
I'll show you later. So anyways, so I'm like, oh boy, this is going great. I love it. This is perfect.
Yeah, Carson hates it.
I'm thinking Carson must hate it. So I'm already like planning, like, okay, I'm going to have a talk with him in the car.
Right.
Going to be like, okay, you know, I know they were tough, but it's first practice. You're going to get better. This is just good for you. We get in the car. We sit down. I'm like, so what'd you think? And he goes, I loved it.
Wow.
I'm like, what? He's like, I loved it. I wasn't shooting the ball right. The coach stopped and he told me how to shoot the ball the right way. I made the next hoop. I feel great. I go, so it didn't bother you? They were a little loud? No, not at all. It was great. Loved it.
Cool. I'm
like, sweet. We got a winner on our hands. This is perfect.
Yeah, but how do his teammates feel?
Well, we're going to find out.
Red Sox is probably not happy.
Yeah, Red Sox mom might not be too... So yeah, I might be wearing black socks.
And tonight. Chubbs McGee probably has to play post this year.
I was waiting for her to call somebody Pork Chop.
Hey, Pork Chop. Did Carson have a nickname?
No.
Oh, just, or was he Red Sox?
He was just called... No, he wasn't Red Sox. Oh. Thank God. Hey, Pork Chop. Run a lap.
Kind of run pass was that, Four Eyes? What do you do?
What's the guy's name in that Will Ferrell movie? The Russian fella. Not Tropic Thunder.
Speak English, Bukaitis.
I was waiting for a Bukaitis.
I say that to my 2 and 3 year old when I have no idea what they're saying. What do you speak English, Bukaitis?
I love it.
They look at me like, what?
It was a good practice. They had a couple of them. Everything went well. But yeah, that's enough about me.
That's funny.
Let's get into it.
So Carson's nickname is Jackie Moon.
So Matt, we got playoffs now, man. The season's almost over.
We got 2 weeks in most leagues.
Especially for fantasy.
If you're in a league where your playoffs go to week 17, leave that league.
Yeah, you shouldn't be in a week 17 fantasy playoff or championship game, I should say.
Ugh.
How are your leagues looking, Matt?
You
still alive in any of the league
records? I'm in the playoffs and league of record.
Yep.
Mate got a bye. A couple other leagues I'm in. I'm in a redraft league. I got a bye there.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple other... leagues. I lost first round in one league, but I think I made the playoffs. I'm in 13 leagues. I made playoffs in 9 of them.
You did a lot better than I did. I had probably the worst year in fantasy football history for myself. Unbelievable. I'm in 8 leagues.
Yep.
I made playoffs in 3.
Ouch.
I'm already eliminated from 1.
You gonna break even if you win some money?
Yeah, at the very worst, I'll break even if I win some money. But like in one of those 2 that I'm still alive in, it's not looking good.
Oh.
It's not looking good. Not at all. Like I'm starting Drew Locke.
He's been hot.
Yeah, I'm hoping he stays hot. We're going to have to talk about
he's been hot.
Pop Locke.
They play the Chiefs. Chiefs defense. Mm-hmm. Looking like a resurgence.
So let's go ahead and let's start. We have ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. Probably reports that Mike Evans is expected to miss the rest of the season. Coach Bruce Arians refused to discuss Evans' long-term status, but it sounds like the 26-year-old stud will miss Tampa Bay's last 3 games, barring unexpected improvement.
That sucks right now.
Fantasy governors should have second-year 91st percentile spark standout Justin Watson queued up as an immediate plug-and-play against the Lions in Week 15.
Really?
Chris Godwin, Breshad Perriman, and Watson will presumably close the year in 3 wide sets. I don't know if you've been on Twitter today, Matt.
Are you starting Justin Watson?
the internet is ablaze with Justin Watson.
Yeah, just like
saying he will. I've seen tweets where he is going to lead you to a championship.
Shut up.
He's going to win you your league this week.
Oh my
gosh. I'm dead serious. That's verbatim. I've seen it in multiple places on
Twitter. Yeah, people also said Patrick Laird was the top running back to have in Miami, and that worked out the last couple weeks, huh?
If you are somehow in the playoffs, and you have to consider, like, truly consider starting Justin Watson,
you're
already eliminated.
Yeah.
You're not going to win. I mean, you have nothing to lose, I guess. I'm assuming.
I don't know. I'm not starting him anywhere.
No. You
I would
made
rather
it this
start
far.
Perriman.
You made it this far.
Than Justin Watson.
You're in the semifinals, in all likelihood.
If you lost Mike Evans, I guess maybe.
But we're a dynasty show. If you're in a dynasty league, Justin Watson is, in all likelihood, picked up already. He's gone. You missed your chance.
Yeah. I wouldn't start him. There are other guys I would rather start.
Well, it's been a. I sounded Italian there.
It's
been a rough week for wide receivers. Catch this. Okay, so we got Alshon Jeffrey. His season's over. Jeffrey reportedly felt something pop before coming up limp mid route, and leaving to the locker room in a cart. Alshon has missed at least 5 games, including some partial appearances, due to nagging ankle soreness mid-season. Unless Nelson Aguilar can make it back against Washington, Philly may be forced to move forward with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Greg Ward, and a warm body off the street for Sunday.
No, did you hear who the next wide receiver up was?
McCown, the backup quarterback. The Eagles are dead in the water, absolutely dead in the water. Alshon looked terrible all year. He never looked right.
Maybe he was hurt all year.
He never looked
right. You know, like, I'm still stuck on the Tampa Bay situation. I would rather have Alan Hurns than start Watson.
Interesting.
Have you seen what Alan Hurns has done lately?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of guys that have been really quietly kind of raking in the points.
Yeah.
Raking in the points. And that's, I'm not even done with wide receivers that are out for the rest of the year. Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, that's too bad.
He announced that he's out for the season via an Instagram post.
Yeah.
Ridley was carted off to the locker room in the first half after falling to his knees and being unable to stand. Even in a lost season for the Falcons, though, the second-year gem, 63 for 866 and 7, surpassed his rookie receiving mark of 821 yards. This should be, I'd consider that a pretty successful sophomore follow-up. With 17 touchdowns under his belt in just 29 career games and 15 starts, mind you, it's not a stretch to consider Ridley's first two seasons among the best starts of any skilled player immediately out of college. That's per RotoWorld.com.
Really?
Dude, that's a really steady, already...
Michael Thomas, I think, would
Dude, they're not saying that. He's the best. They're saying that his first two seasons are among the best starts. He's off to a great start for a career as in the NFL. I've seen him go... I've seen people talking about ranking him next year as a...
Top 10?
Like a top 25 pick.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is a easy one. Like, yeah.
Top 10 pick?
Top 25 pick.
Top 25 pick. Top, okay.
Easily.
Hmm.
In my opinion.
OBJ or Calvin Ridley next year?
It depends on where OBJ's at.
Right now.
Right now, situation as it is, you got to go...
OBJ. Yeah,
I think you do.
It.
Yeah. You're hoping he goes to a situation that he wants to be in.
Okay, here's one. Darius Slayton or Calvin Ridley? after Monday night's game.
Yeah, okay. another wide receiver out for the rest of the year, Auden Tate. Sprained MCL, season over. Matt, I got to ask him. Auden Tate.
Yeah. Nope.
Long-term value?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope.
253rd pick of the 2018 draft. He's only going to be 23 this offseason.
He's a third wide receiver in Cincinnati that's probably adding a rookie quarterback. Offense on the rise. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he's not expensive. I'm sure he's cheap. And I think if you can get
him,
if you have the, if
over
you have
a
the
third.
Bench, if you have the bench. Also, another wide receiver, then I'll stop.
Golly.
I know. Marvin Jones out for the rest of the season. Marvin Jones.
Who?
Marvin Jones. 281-330-8004.
I don't know that part. I just know when you say the last name Jones, you're supposed to say who.
Happy Galladays. That's all I'm going to say there. Happy Galladays. Nothing from you? Nothing?
No. I mean, good job.
Okay.
That took a lot of...
You know, we've mentioned Darius Slayton a couple times. We'll just move on. Darius Slayton caught 5 of 8 targets for 154 yards and 2 touchdowns in the Giants' Week 14 Woo-hoo! Overtime loss.
I believe he was one of my...
To the Eagles.
Guys.
Slayton put on a first-half show, catching all 5 of his passes on 6 targets before the break. Slayton, however, fell off the face of the planet after the break as Eli Manning went 4 of 11 for 24 measly yards over the final 2 frames of action. Wow.
Yeah.
Slayton has 3 2-touchdown games to his name as a rookie, and this was his second 100-yard attempt. Well, 100-yard effort, I should say. Tasty spot against the Dolphins this week. Let's name game for the week.
All right.
Are you
this
ready?
This week only.
This week only.
Okay.
And I think it's possible for you to have both Darius Slayton and these names on your roster.
I agree.
Darius Slayton or DK Metcalf at Carolina.
And Slayton plays the Dolphins?
Slayton plays the Dolphins, but he has Eli throwing the ball.
Oh, well, that didn't matter Monday night.
It did the second half.
I think I'd take Metcalf.
I do too. Emmanuel Sanders or versus Atlanta.
Or Darius Slayton?
Or Darius Slayton against the Dolphins.
Emmanuel.
Yes. Cooper Kupp at
Cooper
Dallas.
Cooper Kupp.
At Dallas.
Finish that one. Doesn't matter. Cooper Kupp.
He hasn't looked too great.
Dallas sucks. Fire Jason Garrett.
All right. That's all I got for you then.
That what? You have one more.
I was going to say I had Marvin Jones in there before Marvin Jones got injured.
Well, duh. I'm not taking Marvin Jones. It was the only time I was going to pick Slayton.
What do you see in Slayton? What kind of long-term value are we talking here?
D-Jax.
You see DeSean Jackson in Darius Slayton?
Yeah. Big play, fast.
I think that's an insult to DeSean Jackson.
Oh, yeah, because he's done so well the last 3 years.
He's... that's not
Argue
fair.
That.
That's not fair. How? DeSean Jackson was considered pretty top-tier for a while there when he was younger.
He top-tier, deep threat? Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. You don't think you see that for Slayton?
Maybe. I mean, I like Slayton a lot. I just don't see the D-Jax comparison other than they're both fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to take the top off that defense.
Something else.
They have Tate, who's an underneath guy. They don't have anybody that's going to take the top off. Slayton's that guy. Yeah. Danny Dimes. Play's going to break down. He's going to get out of the pocket. Slayton's going to be like, I'm fast, and just start running straight. And Danny Dimes will throw it deep. Touchdown. D-Jax. I hope Slayton doesn't drop the ball before he crosses the goal line, though.
Yeah. The Army. It wasn't Army Navy.
No. DeSean Jackson did that like 2 or 3 times in the NFL.
Yeah, but the one that I remember seeing was when he was in that high school like All-Star game.
On a Thanksgiving game. I don't know if they were playing the Cowboys. I just remember him doing it on Thanksgiving, like, ha-ha, yeah.
Dummy.
Thanks.
NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, probably, reports that Darius Geis was diagnosed with an MCL sprain.
Shocker!
This reaffirms Tom Pelissero, probably, his initial report. Rappaport adds the ACL was intact, a sigh of relief since Geis spent the entire offseason and a handful of games midseason rehabbing from separate knee injuries. Geis' season is officially over. In his 5 games played the season, Geis averaged 5.2 yards per carry on 42 attempts, caught 7 of his 9 targets, and found the end zone 3 times. The team will move forward with Adrian Peterson on early downs and Chris Thompson being treated as their primary pass-catching option. Matt, I have to ask, what do you do with Darius Geis?
You can't spell Darius Geis without IR. You can't do it. It's just Duras.
You were waiting for that one.
I was. And I know they're not in the right order. Someone's going to tweet that or something. No. Yeah, he's hurt. Maybe next year. Darius Geis is the Cub of fantasy football.
Would I be wrong to compare Darius Geis and this trajectory for his career to Dalvin Cook so far?
No. I actually like that comparison.
Dalvin Cook had a rough first 2 seasons. But when he played, we seen some really, really solid play. You could tell there was talent there.
The problem with that is
okay.
Cook played more than Geis has. Geis has what? 2 games?
Like I said, he's literally played in 5 games. That's 5 games played.
Yeah.
And we only seen...
Saw.
We saw, excuse me. We saw less than 50 touches in 2 years.
He looked good in the preseason.
Now, here's the kind of the interesting part of this. DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. start calculating.
Shows that his value is equivalent to 1.10 this offseason.
Yeah, the 10th pick.
Mm-hmm. Would you take the 10th pick
absolutely
this draft over Geis?
Yes. You get the best running back in the deal.
Wow, so you're thinking pretty lowly of Geis, right?
I'm thinking pretty highly of the 2020 class. I think you'll have guys in the second round that'll outproduce guys.
Disagree? Yeah, I think if the draft was today and I'm sitting at 110,
you're taking
and guys? I could take anybody, any rookie I wanted at 110, or I could take guys. I think I'd take guys.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a make or break season. 2020 is the make or break year for him. You can't do it in 2020, you're out. You're done. He won't be a thing.
Yes, he will.
Oh.
He's a running back.
Speaking of running backs, Matt, Rashad Penny suffered a torn ACL in the Week 14 loss to the Rams, and he's done for the season.
Another guy that can't.
Penny's knee jammed awkwardly when he planted his left foot into the turf at LA Coliseum. He went down in a heap and immediately grabbed at the knee. Penny's going to be up against the wall to be ready for the start of the 2020 season. It's really unfortunate for a player who appeared to finally turn a corner late in his second season.
Yep.
And, well, wouldn't you know it, Chris Carson will be the focal point, you would have to assume.
Yeah. Is McKissick still there? No, he's in Detroit.
Which is a
so who's the next man up?
One moment. And I will effort that for you.
Golly. Russell Wilson is the next man up. I need somebody with like a nickelback. With a quarter sleeve. Come on, I'm running out of change jokes here.
I have Chris Carson, Rashad Penny, CJ ProSize.
Oh, that guy.
And Travis Homer.
Did you know CJ ProSize was a wide receiver?
I did not know that.
No, he wasn't. That was McKissick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what Madden tells me when I play. Penny, for your thoughts?
No, thank you. Let's talk about A.J. Brown. I've been wanting to talk about A.J. Brown. So A.J. Brown caught 5 of 7 targets for 153 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Let's talk about Ryan Tannehill.
In the Titans' Week 14 win over the Raiders, Brown continues to show a high-end ceiling as a second-round rookie. This week, he got the party started with a 91-yard touchdown that required a broken tackle and burners to get into the end zone. It showed off his top-notch athleticism, Matt, but he wasn't done. Brown caught a slant in the red zone and a few plays later, and, well, he truck-sticked multiple Raiders defenders for a 16-yard score. The huge game makes a 1,000-yard season in reach. Titans host the Texans this week, and, well, that secondary has looked questionable at best.
Titans play the Texans 2 more times this season.
And that's just terrible schedule making. I'm sorry.
That's the way we take it to the house.
A.J. Brown, I mean, of all the Titans receivers we've heard all about last
Corey
couple
Davis,
of seasons.
Corey Davis!
I mean, you gotta...
Right? Get out of here with that junk.
I mean, come on. It's gotta be A.J. Brown. That has to be the most coveted wide receiver in Tennessee. If you gotta pick a Tennessee guy, it has to be Brown.
He's the best A.J. color last name in the league right now.
Oh.
No?
I get it.
Because there's A.J. Green.
Yeah, A.J.
Green. I really wanted the Bengals to draft A.J. Brown. So they could have A.J. Brown and A.J. Green.
It wasn't too long ago that I was talking about Adam Humphries being the guy.
Oh, why?
They paid him.
Yeah,
they paid him.
Yeah.
Tajay Sharp was a guy not too long ago we were talking about.
Who's the tight end?
Corey Davis. Cody Hollister. I mean,
no one talked about Cody Hollister.
No, they didn't. But Jonnu Smith is the tight end.
We all
bought into that a year ago.
Yeah.
He's trash.
Jonnu.
I mean, this is the Derrick Henry show. Don't get me wrong.
They going to re-sign him? Because he's a free agent this year.
Yeah, I think they like him there. I think they like him there. Ryan Tannehill needs to be around, I'll tell you
that much. Ryan Tannehill should be the starter there next year.
Oh, he should be. He's earned it.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Remember when they said Ryan Tannehill would make a better wide receiver than quarterback?
Oh, brutal.
Nobody throws that out anymore. Same thing with Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Tony Romo.
The Tampa Bay Times, Rick Stroud, probably, reports that Jameis Winston is expected to start in Week 15 against the Lions. Winston was cleared after going for a second opinion on his thumb Monday afternoon. With little chance of risking a longer-term injury while playing through his hairline fracture, he's fully expected to start against the Lions. Winston remains on pace for over 5,000 passing yards, which would be the 6th highest mark in league history. He's on pace for 5,065 passing yards, to be exact. Can you believe it? Jameis Winston might finish.
Go ahead.
Like eight. Like
go ahead.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
I think of your hot take every time I see Winston play.
Yeah.
Because you said something, well, finishes top 10 and proves all the doubters wrong. Mm-hmm. I think he can finish top 10 and not prove all the doubters wrong, which is scary to even think about.
It's pretty wild. It really is.
He leads the league in interceptions, and I think he leads the league in yardage.
Yeah.
It'll be the first time that's ever happened.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you what you need to know about the run game in Tampa Bay.
And he taketh away. Jameis. He eats the W and then regurgitates it.
It's still the most, that's the most cringe thing that's like NFL related in history.
Oh, I don't know.
It is. It is. I challenge you to find something more cringy.
Hey, is that guy taping us? What? He's taping us.
Who?
That guy right over there. No, you haven't seen the news? That is a Spygate 2.0 reference, Justin. No?
You need to warn me before we do bits.
I thought you'd pick it up.
It's awful. My God, where was I?
That's funny.
Wow.
That's funny.
Texans coach Bill O'Brien was noncommittal when asked if...
Get out of here!
He was asked... Stop it. Was asked of Will Fuller's availability for Week 15 against the Titans. Fuller spent Week 14 as a spectator, and it's unclear if he'll play through his hamstring injury Sunday when the Texans visit Tennessee. The 2016 first-rounder is one of the most explosive downfield weapons in football, though we rarely get to see him as injuries have limited Fuller to 10 or fewer games in each of his last three seasons.
Yeah.
Matt, do you remember when I told you that Will Fuller was just fool's gold and like he was nothing because he can't be on the field ever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he plays, he blows up.
Sure. DeAndre Hopkins and Kenny Stills worked outside with Kiki manning the slot in Week 14, and we'd expect Houston to use the same alignment if Fuller can't go against the Titans. I have to ask, Matt, what is your take on Will Fuller nowadays?
What's his value?
DTC has him... Oh, I'm sorry. DynastyTradeCalculator.com...
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
...has his value comparable to a late first, early second in 2020.
Give me the pick.
Absolutely.
Give me the pick.
What do you want a guy that can only play 10 games for?
Because those are really good 10 games.
Sometimes. Sometimes they are. They haven't been this season.
They haven't been awful this season.
You can't trust him.
No.
You can't.
No. I agree. But you want a high ceiling flex 10 weeks of the season? Because that doesn't sound bad to me.
Give me the pick and Justin Jackson, I'll call it good.
Oh, you and Justin Jackson. You can probably pick Justin Jackson up off waivers after you get the pick.
He finally came back this week. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. What'd he do? Because Eckler had like 12 touches for 700 carries. Yards.
They gave him 3 carries. He got like 8 yards or something. That's good.
Woohoo.
He looked good.
Yeah.
Jay Glazer, probably, of Fox Sports reports that Odell Beckham Jr. has told players and coaches on other teams he wants out of Cleveland.
Come get me!
Beckham made waves with some of his comments last week, implying he was unsure of his future in Cleveland.
Oh, gosh.
Per Glazer,
Cleveland rocks!
Beckham has made a habit of telling players and coaches on opposing teams,
come get me!
Before and during games to come get me. Glazer added that he doesn't see Beckham's relationship with the Browns ending well after this year. In the midst of one of his worst statistical seasons, moving the high-maintenance and oft-injured wide receiver might be easier said than done. Matt, we kind of mentioned it earlier in the show. Odell Beckham Jr., an elite talent, seems to be a little bit of a head case. To get hurt a lot.
Hurt, air quote?
There was a time. Let's go back in our time machine. There was a time where Odell Beckham Jr. was practically untouchable.
I traded you 4 firsts for him.
You couldn't trade for him in most leagues.
4 firsts for him.
The upside was so high. So high.
Everyone said he did it with Eli. Eli's awful. Imagine what he would do with a different quarterback.
Kind of like 3 years ago.
And then Baker. Baker, the not good wide receiver maker.
So, I don't know. You can't trade him. If he's on your roster, you can't trade him. You need to hold. You're not going to get what you want.
Give me. I will buy. If I don't own him, trade him to me, please.
I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. It's a 2 first minimum right
in
now.
In Philly.
I'm not too sure.
Odell in New England.
Odell? I don't like that as much as I think most people would. Odell in
San Francisco.
Odell in San Francisco. Now, there it is. There it is. Mm. That's where I
We're
want.
We're probably missing a couple teams that could use a wide receiver.
Be nice to see him in Denver.
Oh, gross.
I think it'd be cool.
Oh, I would not like that. I'll trade him to you. Odell in Carolina. Rookie quarterback to Odell.
DJ Moore and Odell Beckham Jr. Oh, my God.
Ian Thomas.
Oh, my God.
Christian McCaffrey. That's a fantasy team.
Daniel Jones, high ankle sprain, is expected to keep him out 2 to 4 weeks. With zero to play for in the final month of another lost year, a shutdown seems all but certain for Jones, who has balanced his 18 touchdown throws with 11 interceptions and 12 fumbles.
Yeah. They need to trade for Rashad Penny. A dime and a penny in the backfield.
It's definitely been a roller coaster debut for the 6th overall pick. For better or worse, it appears Eli Manning will get a proper goodbye, finishing out the stretch as New York's QB1. Which, weird. I don't know. That's just weird.
They're going to have the second pick. If, for some reason, the Bungles screw up the first pick.
They could.
Do you think the Giants take Burrow?
No. I'm not seeing it. I don't know. It's way too early to do the draft talk. Like, you got to let the NFL needs to be over, and then I get into draft talk mode. I can't do it before then.
All right, fine.
Austin Eckler rushed 8 times for 101 yards in the Chargers Week 14 win over the Jaguars, adding 4 receptions for an additional 112 yards and a touch. Eckler was brilliant for the entire afternoon, ripping off catches 27, 23, and 35-yard runs on his first 3 carries before later taking a screen 84 yards to the house after lining up out wide.
They only gave him 8 carries.
The Chargers take on the Vikings in Los Angeles, which is a decent matchup. You're this deep in the playoffs. You're starting Eckler, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
You can't ignore that performance.
No.
I mean, Melvin Gordon's going to cap him off a little bit.
He's there.
But, yeah, boy, Eckler.
Yeah. They don't defend the pass well. The Minnesota Vikings don't.
No.
And that's where Eckler, I don't know, does really well. So, I'm firing up Eckler. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah, I agree. ESPN's Adam Schefter, probably, reports that Juju Smith-Schuster is eyeing a return against the Bills in Week 15.
The Bills? Odell Beckham on the Bills?
Smith-Schuster
hasn't... They traded for Antonio Brown once.
He hasn't played or practiced since injuring his knee in Week 11, but apparently he's gearing up for return Sunday night in a must-win game against Buffalo. It's not the easiest matchup to return to. Only the 49ers and the Patriots have allowed fewer passing yards per game than the Bills. And, well, when you double that up with the presence of game manager Devlin Hodges.
Yeah, Bills.
Juju's upside has to be kind of capped.
Not going
to
bury us.
Smith-Schuster, I like it. Smith-Schuster's expected return could complicate matters for James Washington, who has tallied 90 yards or better in 3 of his last 5 appearances. But boy, Matt, can you, at this point in the season, can you even trust Juju or Washington here?
You're starting Juju, aren't you? No.
You've gotten this far without him. It's been since week 11 since you had him, and before that, he wasn't impressive. And now you're going against a tough matchup? Your fantasy season's on the line? You're starting Juju? You haven't used him in the last 5 weeks. No way.
You're not?
No. I'm out. No way. At this point, no way.
Okay.
You had to be desperate.
If you lost Mike Evans?
I could see it. If you somehow had Juju and Mike Evans, that'd be... I mean, it's possible. But if Juju plays... You can't talk me into starting James Washington.
No.
Period.
No.
You can barely talk me into James Washington if Juju's out.
Vance McDonald's out, right? I know he's injured. There's an opportunity there for Washington, but yeah. You starting Connor? Connor's coming back this week too.
With low expectations, I mean, I'd rather find somebody else. You're in the playoffs. Yeah, I mean.
He probably got you there.
I feel like his floor is pretty decent. I feel like you could be okay with James Conner. You just have to mix up your roster a little bit.
Mm. Okay.
David Njoku caught 1 of 3 targets for 4 yards in the Browns' Week 14 win over the Bengals. Now, I know you might be asking yourself, why the hell are we talking about a guy that caught 1 pass for 4 yards?
Do they play Arizona?
That's right.
They play Arizona. They suck. Njoku, I could get a touchdown against Arizona's defense.
This was Njoku's first game since breaking his wrist in week 2, so it's been quite a while, and now he gets the Cardinals' defense in week 15, which we know, like Matt, is soft at best. Matt, are you rolling Njoku this week? Are you rolling Njoku this week?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Are you serious? Yes. You roll anybody against Arizona. I don't know why most teams don't put their best wide receiver at tight end against Arizona. Just kidding. Juju this week's a tight end. Like, they're terrible. They just don't guard him. Oh, you're tight? Cool. Nobody's got you. Just walk into the end zone.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of fantasy governors look at their roster and when they're setting their lineup and they see, oh man, Njoku only, had 3 targets. He only caught one of them. It was only 4 yards.
It's Arizona.
Yeah, I'm out. Dude, Njoku, and I don't think it's sneaky, but if you have Njoku, he needs to start this week. He is a must start.
Arizona's tight end defense is softer than the food they feed those 85-year-olds out in Arizona for retirement.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah.
I have one more story for you, Matt. I saved the best for last.
Of course you did. I knew it.
Drew Locke completed 22 of 27 passes for 309 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception in Denver's Week 14 win over the Texans. I'm not done, Matt. Locke had as many touchdowns, 3, as incompletions, also 3, when the Broncos headed into the intermission with a 31-3 lead. He also joined, catch these names, John Elway and Tim Tebow as the only rookie quarterbacks for Denver to throw for at least 300 yards in a game.
Okay.
The 23-year-old aced his first career road start, passing Houston's secondary for 3 easy scores to Noah Fant, Jeff Auerman, and Royce Freeman through the first 2 quarters. It was an encouraging outing as Locke hit 10 different receivers to move his career record to 2-0. 10 different receivers on the Denver Broncos. He faces a much tougher task in an AFC West showdown against Kansas City in Week 15, but hey, I'm going to enjoy this moment.
Remember when Brandon Allen was tearing it up as the Broncos quarterback, too?
Yeah, yeah. I remember you saying that Brandon Allen's future.
I didn't say that on the podcast.
You said Brandon Allen was better than Drew Locke.
That is not what I said.
You did say
that. I said Brandon Allen's undefeated. Maybe he should be the starter until the end of the season.
Drew Locke's going to take us to a Super Bowl, baby. Oh, can't wait.
Gosh, yeah, because John Elway does a great job at evaluating quarterbacks.
You got to get lucky sometimes. If you just keep getting them, you're going to find one eventually, and he found one. Drew Locke looked great. Drew Locke has looked great in the first 2 games that we've seen him.
Most rookies look good their first couple. Like I said, Brandon Allen looked good his first start. Danny Dimes looked great his first few starts.
As a Bronco fan, I was totally happy to see this. 2020
is nothing
more promising.
To look forward to.
This is so promising. We have a young offense. Cortland Sutton, dude, looks amazing.
Your defense
Noah Fant
is
looks
old.
Really, really good. Von Miller, not
is
so
really,
much.
Really sick of being in Denver.
Yeah, but they got the A.J. Johnson. He's a linebacker there. He looks really good. He's not young either, but he looks good. I don't know, man. There's a lot to like in Denver, especially on the offense.
You know what's really not to like for Denver?
What's that, man?
The Chiefs in the same division. The Chiefs, Raiders in the same division.
The Chiefs, while they were a juggernaut last year, they do not look the same this season by any means. You contain Tyreek. You try to slow down Patrick Mahomes, and what do you got? I know it's easier said than
Kelsey?
Done. I know it's easier said than done. Kelsey's looked...
Mecole Hardman? You got DeAndre Swift next year?
Why would anybody be afraid of Mecole Hardman?
Are you serious? Because he's faster than everybody except for Tyreek Hill.
Last I checked, just being fast doesn't make you a great wide receiver. Right? Otherwise, Darius Slayton would be in the same conversation as Mike Evans right now.
Darius Slayton is really fast.
Michael Thomas, you know what I mean?
Is really fast.
That's enough about my Broncos, Matt. We need to talk about our hot takes.
Let's
talk
about the Cowboys. Can we talk about how they need to fire Jason Garrett?
Jason Garrett needs to be gone.
And how freaking Urban Meyer is the rumored choice to be head coach. No.
That would be interesting.
No, it wouldn't.
I think that'd be interesting.
Give me... Why? No, I don't want Urban Meyer. As a Cowboy fan, I don't want Urban Meyer. You know who I want? It's completely unrealistic, and it won't happen, but who I want? Sean Payton. That's who I want.
Okay.
Sean Payton.
Yeah, Jerry, you're not getting that.
Trade a first
Sean
and
Payton's
a second
too good of a
for
coach.
Sean Payton. Drew Brees retires. What does Sean Payton have to stick around for? Why would he stick around?
So you think he would just abandon the rest of the team?
No,
so
I think
he could
go to
Dallas?
He does have I don't know if you know this. He has a history in Dallas.
Okay.
Worked for the Joneses. Joneses love him. Jerry said, I'll do anything I can to win the Super Bowl. That was a terrible Southern oil farmer accent. I don't doubt that there'll be some rumblings that that could happen. Just throwing it out there. December 10th, 2019, I'm just saying. We'll see if Sean Payton rumors to Dallas happen.
I think Sean Payton's way way above the Cowboys. I'm sorry.
Why?
Because the Cowboys aren't... Jerry Jones is not looking for a coach. Jerry Jones is looking for somebody that he can tell how to coach. And Sean Payton doesn't strike me as that kind of guy.
He's got that in Jason Garrett.
Right.
But, and he hasn't won anything now, for 10 years. But
now that since Jason Garrett isn't winning, he can...
Jason Garrett hasn't won! Jason Garrett's like the most 500 coach in NFL history. He has how many years of 8-8? 7-9 and 9-7. He had 1 year of like 13-3. And this year, he's going to cancel that year out.
Who knows, man? Who knows?
Good job. Good job. Good job. Just fire him. Just get rid of him, Jerry. I can clap. If you need a personal clapper, Jerry, I will clap for you.
I bet you would clap. I bet you would clap.
I will clap. Man, you, you can freak. You can pay me NFL veteran minimum, and I will just clap.
Yeah. All right. Hot take time.
All right.
We got a couple minutes left in the show. This is the time where we do these. We're going to do one more update on the hot takes, and that'll be the finish, right? That'll be
the end of the season.
End of the season.
Prove I was right. You were right on a couple.
Easy.
You're going to be right on a couple.
I said Ingram was going to finish as a top 14 running back. And I also said that Gus Edwards was going to finish over Justice Hill.
Couple.
Currently, Ingram is a running back, is the running back 9. And okay. Gus Edwards leads Hill 68-22 in fantasy scoring.
There it is. I'd call that a win.
So far. I also said that Chris Godwin finishes 2019 with 100 receptions or more. And, well, he's at 81.
I call that a win because he's got no Mike Evans the rest of the year.
And then, like you mentioned earlier in the show, I said Jameis Winston hushes the critics and finishes as a top 12 quarterback. He's currently the QB6, but there's a lot of talking going on. I said that Madison would finish as the rookie running back 4 or better. He's currently the rookie running back 5, and then overall the rookie or the running back 54. Okay. So we're right there.
Mm.
He needs a game.
Almost had it. Cook got hurt-ish.
Yeah.
That was your shot.
Let's see. I said that D.D. Westbrook finishes as a top 24 wide receiver, and he finishes higher than A.J. Green, Alshon Jeffrey, and T.Y. Hilton. This one's kind of fun.
Yeah.
He's actually the wide receiver 42 right now with 7 double-digit performances, but what's funny, he still leads A.J. Green, Alshon Jeffrey, and T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, but that's not why you thought he would beat them.
No, but I still think that's funny. Of those names, that was part of the hot take. Yeah. Those are pretty big names. Those are guys that were being taken either ahead or around D.D. Westbrook.
Yeah.
And he's done better than all of them. Partially correct. I'm going to give myself a little credit on that. Justin Jackson finishes his sophomore year in the NFL as a top 25 running back in PPR leagues. Boy, oh boy. He's currently the running back 85, and he finally returned to action this week after a very long absence. Still possible.
Woohoo!
I said that Devontae Parker finishes in third or worse for the team in receptions. He leads the Dolphins in receptions by an 18-catch margin.
That fifth-year wide receiver breakout is something.
I can't wait to watch him get drafted in startups. Wherever it goes, it's going to be like 10 rounds too early.
That's a hot take next year.
I'm so out.
Especially with a starting quarterback named Tua Tagovailoa.
I'm so out.
Tua turn the ball over.
I said Trey Quinn was going to finish the season as a top 36 wide receiver in PPR leagues. He's currently the wide receiver 89, and I actually dropped him to make room for a couple players this week. Trey Quinn's looked awful. Offense looks awful. By the time they get that up and running, which is a questionable statement at best, Trey Quinn's going to be done. He'll be out of there. I said that Saquon Barkley was going to take a step back and finish outside of the running back 12. He's currently running back 18, but god dang, he looks good.
Yeah.
Even with the stats. Like, the stats aren't eye-popping, but if you watch him play, he is the best player on that Giants team.
It's not hard.
It's not close. It's not close at all. He outclasses everyone on that roster. I was watching that game last night, and he some of the blocks he made were...
Oh, you sent out a text.
Dude, we're so quick.
Did you see that block? Oh my gosh.
It was amazing.
We're watching blocks.
He's going to the other side of the field to make a block, the other side of the pocket to make a block to cover Eli so Eli can throw it in completion.
Eli didn't even see the guy.
It's like
how'd you do that?
It's like a snap at how fast he moved over to get that block to pick it up. Amazing.
You'd make a great scout.
Right. Saquon Barkley is, I mean, uber talented. I feel bad for even thinking that he'd finish outside of running back 12.
But you might be right.
I might be right, but I'm not going to feel good about it. The Lions, as a whole, would completely rebound this season under Matt Patricia. I said that Matt Stafford would throw 30 touchdowns, Kerryon Johnson would finish as a running back two, and Danny Amendola would sneak his way into wide receiver three territory. Well, most of those guys are injured.
I was like, let's be fair. A lot of these are injury-based.
Stafford hasn't played since week 9, and he has 19 touchdowns. Kerryon only played in 6 games and had double digits in 4 of those. And Amendola is outside of wide receiver 52. He hasn't looked consistent at all. The Lions had a really nice start to the season. Do you remember that?
I do.
They were really solid.
I thought this was going to be a good hot take.
But then the injuries just piled up. They piled up. And now with us being so late in the season, there's no reason to throw Stafford back out there.
Yeah, they got nothing to play for.
Yeah, that one's dead in the water. Now let's move on to yours, and then we'll go back to the rookie finishers, which was, I am kicking your butt now.
No.
You said Lamar Jackson finishes as a QB10 or higher, which now is laughable.
Nailed it.
You also said that he was going to clear the 100 or the 1,000-yard rushing mark.
Nailed it.
He is the QB1 overall, and yep. It's not close. He's a QB1 by a 52-point margin.
Yep.
That's over, I mean, on average, that's over a game and a half. That's really, really good of production, usually.
Mm-hmm.
1,017 yards rushing, by the way. So he totally
broke that mark.
He's going to smash that mark. Then you said Jacoby Brissett was going to finish as a QB2 or better. And at the time, we all laughed at you. Brissett is a QB16.
Boom.
And just looks, I mean, pretty lackluster, but he's QB16.
He's a QB2. He's a starter in Superflex leagues.
Then you said Kyler Murray was going to bomb his rookie year.
This one hurt.
He's currently the rookie QB1, and he is the QB7 overall. At the time, he was being drafted as the QB13.
Yeah, so he outproduced even what I thought.
You said Josh Gordon doesn't get suspended, retire, or take a break from football in 2019, which is probably one of the funniest hot takes we've ever done. he is currently the wide receiver 81. Okay. He was being drafted as the wide receiver 42. He only has one touchdown on the season.
Yeah, but
you said you'd have him over D.D. Westbrook and Jarvis Landry.
Which, yeah, never
don't
mind.
Even.
D.D.'s 42.
Yeah, D.D. has like doubled him in production, and Jarvis is, I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah.
You said that A.J. Green will be the Bengals wide receiver 1.
Still could happen. No, it can't.
No, it can't. Tyler Boyd is the Bengals wide receiver 1 with 172 fantasy points. And Auden Tate is a distant second with 100 points, and he's out for the rest of the season.
Where's A.J. Green going to go next year?
Oh, God. Who knows?
Same teams we just talked about. Patriots, Philly, San Fran, maybe.
But it wasn't too long ago. It was like a couple weeks ago we were talking about, oh, A.J. Green is like AJ reportedly Green Bay. Ready. Like he's ready to go. And
why would he come back?
He just isn't going
to win a million.
He wasn't going to come back because it's like there's nothing to play for.
Right.
And I totally agree with it.
Yep.
Now, here's a fun one.
Uh-huh.
You said Robbie Anderson was going to finish in wide receiver 2 territory. And for a long time, we were like, nah.
That was laughable.
That ain't happening. He's currently wide receiver 39.
Yeah, he had a big 3 weeks.
Yeah, in PPR leagues. And he's on a hot streak now. 3 straight double-digit performances and back-to-back 100-yard games.
Yep.
Anderson, man.
Yeah,
he might have something
late
there.
Season push.
You said that 2 Washington Redskins wide receivers will surpass the 45 reception mark. Yikes. You said there would also be Trey Quinn and Terry McLaurin.
Right. Half right.
Currently, Scary Terry has 46 receptions, so he did it.
Woohoo.
But the second place guy is Paul Richardson, who has 28.
He's and got mind 3 weeks to get 20?
Mind you, Paul Richardson had 28 receptions 2 weeks ago.
Oh. So no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. You said Jason Witten outperforms his draft position. He's currently being drafted as the tight end 56 somehow. I think those were old numbers, but who knows? You said he'd finish as a tight end 2. He's currently the tight end 9.
There it is.
He's up to 5 double-digit games a season. You said you predicted about 4 more. So, yep, he did that. And then you said that no rookie tight end finishes as a tight end 1. So, top 12. Noah Fant is the closest with tight end 16. But now that Drew Lock is here.
Maybe.
He might be in trouble.
Maybe. I'll still take it. And Hawkinson's out for the year.
Yeah. And so we went ahead and we picked our top rookie finishers at the skill positions.
Yep.
I took Danny Dimes as the top quarterback. You took
Danny Dimes
as well. Kyler Murray still is holding on to
that
spot.
He's going to win that one.
Yep. At running back, I took Josh Jacobs. You took David Montgomery. Josh Jacobs is the guy.
Wait, for now. Because Jacobs is hurt.
For now. At wide receiver, I took DK Metcalf. You took Samuel Deebo.
Deebo Sim. I feel like you do it on purpose.
Currently, and, the wide receiver one for rookies is DK Metcalf.
Yeah, but where's Deebo?
They're all very, yeah, very close.
I was going to say, it's not.
That's anybody's game. That one's anyone's game. At tight end, I took Fant. You took Fant, and Fant is the tight end one.
There we go.
So, for rookies, I should say.
So,
should clarify.
You 4-for-4? No, 3-for-4.
I'm 3-for-4, and it's, I think that's the best either one of us could possibly do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Danny Dimes
isn't catching it. No.
And but, I mean, we picked the same rookie for 2 of the 4.
We both could go 2-and-2.
Oh, absolutely.
That's pretty good.
Absolutely.
You don't get that type of analysis anywhere else.
Just as a reminder, be sure to check out DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
For all of your fantasy advice and needs and podcasts and whatnot. And if you want to be interviewed and be on the show this summer.
The off-season.
You need to email us. We are DynastyDads@gmail.com. Or feel free to reach out to us on Twitter. We are @DynastyDads. Matt, you got anything else you want to add?
Good luck in your playoffs this week. Hopefully your team that gets a bye doesn't put up the lowest score ever, because that tends to happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you all next week.
We out.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter @DynastyDads. Visit us at our website, DynastyDads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.